Good morning. It's good to be with you today. I appreciate this opportunity to share with you today and be a part of your service. And for the next few weeks also, skipping next week, but then after that, being with you for a few weeks. I appreciate that opportunity and the time that we can spend together. I am Joey Sable, okay? I get called a lot of things, so I pretty much answer to anything, all right? But it is Sable. Some people call me Terry Bradshaw. Over the last few years, it's been unreal. I guess I'm looking more like him every day because it's been unreal. I go in restaurants and I sit down, and somebody will get up out of their seat and come over to our table, and they'll say, "We know you're not Terry Bradshaw, but are you kin to him?" And so I've developed this little thought. You know, in college football now, they have that name, image, likeness. So as preachers, I think we ought to have that. And so my name, image, likeness is Terry Bradshaw. So this morning afterwards, I'll take pictures and give autographs for $10 a piece. All right? I identify as Terry Bradshaw. That wasn't good, was it? I shouldn't have said that. It's good to be with you today. I'm thrilled to share God's Word anytime. I have recently retired from the pastorate at Pineview Baptist Church out here on Highway 53 in Harvest, and I spent almost 20 years there as their pastor, and I've spent the last 35 years in North Alabama since 87. My wife spent her whole life in North Alabama. She's a graduate of Sparkman High School and been here all her life. I took her away for a little while and then brought her back. But we have enjoyed North Alabama, and I have watched your church, and I know some of you and know some of you pretty well and have spent some time with you all at times. And just excited about what God does in your church here. Today, I thought we would come together and I'd just share with you a little bit about living with hope. Living with hope. Now, if you were to look at my notes, I got a lot of notes. And that scares people to death because they believe we're going to be here a long time. But I learned since I started having to wear these things that I could make the fonts bigger. And I don't have to wear them as quite often. So that's what I do. So I'll have a lot of notes, but it's really not that many notes, all right? But I want to share with you the idea of living with hope today. I heard this story years ago, and I thought I would share it with you. It's a true story. It's about a submarine. The submarine was coming to the surface of the water, and they were going to restock their oxygen tanks. And so as they got to the top of the water, something happened and a ship rammed into them and gashed a big hole in the submarine. And it immediately began to sink. And it sank to the bottom of the ocean. Well, they sent in all the emergency crews and everything, and they were thinking, how can we get this submarine up? It has a large group of men on that submarine, and we need to get it up. So they sent down divers down there to check around to see what they could do. And as one of the divers was swimming around the submarine, he began to hear a noise. And he stopped, and he went over to the submarine, and he put his helmet up against the submarine. And what he heard was Morse code. And the Morse code said this: "Is there any hope?" Well, we live in a world today that tells us there's not a lot of hope. That we are doomed, that everything's bad. And if you look around, a lot of things are bad. We don't like paying $4 for gas. We don't like doing those kind of things. Our grocery shelves are not stocked the way that we think they ought to be stocked. People are suffering with some kind of whatever called illnesses. And we have all these problems in our world. And there's a lot of people asking the question, is there hope? Is there hope? Well, I want to share with you this morning some ideas around that thought, living with hope. The first thing I would say to you, as a child of God, don't live with a defeatist attitude. You ever been around anybody like that? That their whole life is built around, oh, poor pitiful me. I'm just so sad. Everything's going wrong. Things are so bad. And they live with that kind of attitude constantly. Now, I understand that things get bad. And things do go wrong. But if you convince a man there's no hope, you have done the worst possible thing that you could do in the world to him. We should not get used to living in a negative, defeated, miserable life filled with sorrow and heartache. God wants us as His children to live an overcoming, a victorious Christian life. There's a difference in temporary failure and total defeat. Now, I coach ball. I've been coaching at Pineview Christian Academy up here for the last several years. We coach basketball and I coach football. And I can tell you that on the football field, there's times that you're going to have failure. Somebody's going to run over you. And you can either stop there and come off the field and experience total defeat, or you can get up and line back up and play as hard as you can. And as a child of God, God does not desire us to live that negative, defeated life. He wants us to live victorious. There's an old story about a man who had a mule. And this old mule fell into a well. And he fell into the well, and the man was trying to figure out, how do I get this mule out? And he does everything he can think of, but he can't get the mule out. So finally he gives up and he says to the guys with him, he said, just back up here with truckloads of dirt and throw it in on top of the old mule. There's no hope. So they began to throw shovelfuls of dirt in the hole. And as they threw the dirt in the hole, the mule would get mad because it was hitting him right in the head every time. And he would start stomping around. Well, what he was doing, he was stomping that loose dirt. And all of a sudden, by the time they got through throwing in dirt, the mule walked out of the hole. There's always hope, especially for the child of God. There's always hope. There's different ways that people deal with problems that life throws at them. Some are constant complainers. They're what I call whiners. They don't handle setbacks and upsets very well. Some people cannot even handle normal events. Others are defeated at the slightest difficulty that comes along in their life. Quite a few get confused. They turn around and they seem to not know what to do. Then there are a few who are just unconquerable. They are like the mule. They decide no matter what comes at them, that they're going to overcome. And their problems they meet head on, understanding they're a child of God. What does it mean to be a child of God, living with hope? Let me give you a few verses real quick. 2 Corinthians 2:14. The Bible says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." victorious. Romans 8:37 says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against us shall prosper." God has already given us victory in our life. Even when everything is against you, God is still for you. Does that get you excited? That ought to get you excited. We just sang about it just a few minutes ago. One of my favorite songs there, Austin, that you sang there at the beginning. And one of the lines says, "God has always been faithful in my life." Hey, I'm facing days that I never thought I'd face. I'm 66 years old now, and as I look back, I look at things that have happened in my life, and I say, God has always been faithful in my life. There's times I wasn't faithful to Him, but He's always been faithful in my life. He's given me victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" You know, for some reason we think the White House has all the answers for us. We think the Representative House has all the answers for us. But I want to tell you, real quick, the church house has the answer. And the answer is Jesus. Aren't you thankful for that? Let me say one other thing to you. Hope always leads to faith. Hope always leads to faith. If you don't have any hope, you're not going to have any need to have faith. You're just not going to have faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." The world will tell you, seeing is believing. But I declare unto you through God's Word that believing is seeing. We need to put our faith and our trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do that, we have the hope that overcomes. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." 1 John 5:4 says, "And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith." You see, hope requires some faith. We need to be able to trust God, our Heavenly Father, completely. And therein lies our hope. We get our eyes off of our present day circumstances. We quit looking at this thing called COVID. And it's serious, it's real, I understand that. I'm not downplaying that. But you don't look at that, and that's all you look at. You understand there's hope through that, and that's Jesus Christ. You get your eyes off of that. You get your eyes off your finances. You put them in God's hands. You get your eyes off the gas prices. You put them in God's hands. And there is our hope when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. We must trust God at His Word. As a matter of fact, Psalm chapter 20, verse 7, look what it says. It says, "Some trust in chariots, and some trust in horses." Now, do you know what chariots and horses represented in that day? The government. The army. They said some people, that's all they trust. It's what the government's going to do or what the army can do. That's where their trust is. But watch what he continues that verse and says in verse 7. He said, but we will remember the name of the Lord. You see, our trust has to be in Jesus Christ. I talk sometimes with wives whose husbands are not believers. And they're distraught. They don't know what to do. And ladies, you must trust God's Word if that's you. We must live with hope. There's a lady I know that was in my church at Pine View, and her husband had cancer. And she had been praying for her husband all these years. And one day I was visiting him. This was not the first time, but I was visiting him at his house. And we would sit there and we talked, and he was just a nice guy, but he had never been to church, to my church, and he wasn't a believer. And we sat there and we talked. And finally I told him, I said, hey, if you ever want to give your life to Jesus, I want to help you. And I told him that over and over. And so I got up out of my seat. I had prayer with him, got up out of my seat, and was at the door. And he looked at me and he said, Joey, I think I'm ready. And I turned around and I said, ready for what? He said, I think it's time to give my life. So I sat back down with him, opened Scripture again, showed him the plan of salvation. He prayed, he trusted Christ as his Savior that day. Get around that story. 2 weeks later, that man went out into eternity. He died. But he died knowing Jesus as his Savior. His wife stood a few weeks later in our church. And her testimony was this. She said, I want to say to all of you that maybe your husbands don't know Christ. You've got to keep hope. She said, I prayed for my husband for 64 years. Before he gave his life to Jesus. There's hope. Look what the Bible says to the wives whose husbands are not believers. It said, wives, in 1 Peter 3, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word. We think we got to talk, don't we? We think we're the ones who do all the work. They can be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. There's hope. There's always hope. Always hope. Never give up. John Maxwell said, if there's not faith in the future, there'll be no power in the present. And let me say to you, in the midst of adversity, God is on your side. You remember when Moses was talking to God, and God said, Moses, I want you to go down there to Egypt, and I want you to deliver my children. And God said, I'm nobody. How am I going to do this? And God said, well, I tell you what, when you go down there and they ask you, by whose authority are you coming in here? Just say, I am sent me. I am sent me. And so Moses talks to God a little bit longer, and he's kind of like I was. He didn't really want to do what God wanted him to do. You know, when I was 18 years old, God called me to preach. And when he called me to preach, I gave him every excuse in the book. I said, God, I'm going to be the greatest coach that's ever lived. I'm going to replace Bear Bryant, not at Alabama, but his record. All right? And I'm going to be the greatest coach that ever lived, and I may even make it to the pros and break all the coaching records. I know I'm not big enough to play, but I'm going to coach. And God said, that's not what I want you to do. And I said, well, God, I don't like wearing suit and ties. He said, well, that'd be all right, because one day they're going to quit wearing those. And when that happened, I said, there is a God. Yes. But Moses gave every excuse. And then he said, God, if your people don't want to follow me, what am I to do? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you say to them. Can I tell you today that in the midst of anything going on in your life, if you're a child of God, I am is right with you. I am is right there. That's past, present, future. I am is there. God has given us a hope. That hope is real. Can I break down to you real quick as we close? The man who lives with hope. In Jeremiah 17, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. First of all, I would say to you that the man who lives with hope is immovable. He's steadfast. He's planted deep. A little wind's not going to knock him over. A lot of rain's not going to make it weak and him fall. He's immovable. But let me also say that the man who is in hope is fearless. Fearless. Even when everything around him is a disaster. He's not going to sustain damage because of scorching heat or the summer. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us that spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. The child of God is fearless. We don't have to fear because we have the one who overcomes that. In us. The man who lives with hope is peaceful. He'll not be anxious in time of trouble. When trouble comes, he looks for a way to see victory that God gives. Drought does not scare him. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Now I didn't say you're never going to have problems, did I? In 66 years, I've seen a few problems in my life. Maybe you've seen more than I've seen. Maybe you faced sickness that was just unbearable. Financial situations that there was no answer for. Maybe job situations that was just horrendous. School gets tough. Friendships are broken. Even some have faced death of a loved one or a friend, a spouse, or a child. But even in all that, God said in 1633 here, you will have these kind of tribulations. But I love that last part. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Where's the hope? The hope is in Jesus overcoming the world. And then the man who lives with hope will be fruitful in all that he does. John 15:8 says, by this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Fruits of the Spirit, fruits of holiness, fruits of leading other people to Jesus. Now, church, can I just say to you this morning, and I would say this to any church I stand in front of, the purpose of this church, the purpose of this church, is to reach outside these doors for people and let them know that God loves them and He has a plan for their life. And that plan is that Jesus died for them and He wants to save them. That's our purpose. No other purpose. All the other stuff comes along, but that is our purpose in life. Verse 16 there in John 15 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit remain. But whatever you ask in the Father's name, He may give you. There's hope. You can be a man or woman of hope today. You can live with hope. Why? Because you're a child of God. You're a child of God. I'm so thankful that after this day's over, I can walk out of this building and I can get in my truck and I can go to my house. And all the way there, I can know that there's hope in my life because of who I am. Not because I'm Joey, but because I'm a child of God. There's hope. Do you know Jesus today? Have you ever given your life to Him? Have you ever come to that place and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I want You in my life. I want You to save me. And allow Him to come in your life. Have you ever been there? Today would be a great day to do that. Maybe you're struggling in life somewhere with something going on. And hey, that's not shameful. Struggles are not shameful. But let me say to you, you can lay those struggles down and you can live with hope. And we'd like to help you. We'd like to pray for you. We'd like to walk beside you and do whatever we can to help you in this life. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Austin's going to lead us in just a few moments. Adam will be here at the front. Whatever it is in your life that you need to take care of, I pray that you'll do that this morning. If you've never met Jesus Christ as your Savior, in just a moment when we sing, if you'd just slide out of that pew, walk right down here to the front, and just say to Adam, Adam, I want to know Jesus. He'll know exactly what to do. He will help you. He's not going to embarrass you. He's not going to put you on the spot. He wants to help you. If you're struggling today, maybe you just need to come to these steps here as an altar and just bow these steps and say, Lord Jesus, I want to take this struggle in my life right now, whether it's health-wise, financially, a relationship, and I want to lay it at your feet. And God, I need you. I need that hope. You can do that. Maybe it's deeper than that. Maybe you need to walk over to Adam and say to him what's going on so that maybe he can help you in days to come. But you be honest this morning. You be straight up with God. Let him do his work in your life.